This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's get right to the phones. You guys have been waiting patiently. Let's hear from Lions fans. Following just the second loss of the season, Detroit still has the one seed as you wake up today, but the injuries mounting. Concerns? They're there. Jim in Belleville, you're on 97.1.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I do not think the Lions make the Super Bowl. I've been disappointed in their last three games because they've shown that They're going to get exposed. There's been bonehead calls that the experts have already predicted that the Lions would lose because of it, and they're showing it now. The injuries are mounting up. I don't see them making it past the first or second round. They're going to get exposed and beaten.
I want to clarify. They didn't lose because of Dan Campbell's onside kick decisions, right?
But it's a bonehead call that the teams are getting ready for, and they're not afraid of Detroit anymore.
I would disagree. I think Chicago is afraid of Detroit. And if you're talking about like playoff teams, I guarantee you every team in the NFC is scared of the Detroit Lions.
Well, Chicago's not even in it, so that doesn't matter.
Right. I clarified. I'm just talking about the next game, and then I clarified it by saying the playoff teams, I guarantee you they're scared of the Detroit Lions.
Well, and, Jim, so the part of the formula here is if the Lions do beat the Bears and they do beat the Niners – and they win the home game against the Vikings, teams will have to come to Detroit. Now, clearly, Buffalo wasn't fazed by playing here. But you're not facing Josh Allen in the NFC playoffs. Detroit will still be. I mean, I know Philly's there, but Detroit will be the favorite to win the NFC. You get to the Super Bowl, you may be underdogs now against a Buffalo or a Mahomes or, you know, Baltimore if Lamar finally gets his team to the Super Bowl. But you'll be in the game. And it's why I can't tell you can't win the Super Bowl, but
I think the only time you make the Super Bowl and you're the underdogs is if it's the Bills. I don't know that you're the underdogs if you face the Chiefs.
Valid. Yeah. 248-539-9797. Next up is Mike and Flint. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
Good.
So I'm not ready to throw the panic button yet. I've got... You know, yesterday's loss was the first one all season where they scored more than 20 points. And I get four pretty good points on why you shouldn't be panicked. First one is Detroit with the loss. They're still the number one seed in the NFC. 177-point differential for the positive, so that's good. The other thing is yesterday with the loss, it gave us a great opportunity to see Buffalo's play style, how they're going to play calls, or how they're going to call plays, pardon me. And then The other thing that we saw yesterday is, how are we going to address Oliver? I mean, he kind of ran over us all day yesterday.
Oliver and
that's
Russo.
A great opportunity. Yeah, that's a great opportunity. And you don't want to find that out in the playoffs. You want to find it out now. And then Buffalo goes into it. They're thinking, oh, we're, you know, we've got three losses and we just beat a team with one loss. And they got this big old head. And when it comes to a rematch, what's that going to show? Detroit, during that boxing match, did not go down.
No.
They kept getting up, biting kneecaps, biting, doing whatever. I mean, they got punched in the face. They still came up. 12 seconds left. I'm still watching the game thinking they got a chance to win.
Well, I don't think that Buffalo is going to get to the Super Bowl and have a big head. I mean, because that's the only time that they're going to play again.
Yeah. And it's also not a lock. Like, Buffalo should be the favorites today. They beat Kansas City. They beat Detroit. But Buffalo will have to go to Arrowhead right now in the playoffs if the season ended. And that has been a house of horrors. They win in the regular season. They have not won in the postseason. Again, some of this is a matchup we may never have to face again. Like, it's possible Lamar, last year was a nightmare matchup. And maybe Josh Allen, just with this beat-up defense, cards are stacked against you. Maybe it's Mahomes, though. Maybe you end up getting a team that doesn't have the offensive firepower in the Super Bowl. You just got to find a way to get there.
Yeah, I mean, there's no guarantee that Buffalo makes it. There's no guarantee the Lions make it. I think the Lions' path to the Super Bowl, and I understand that Philly's standing right there, to me is easier than Buffalo's path to the Super Bowl. Because Buffalo, whether it's facing their demons in the postseason of going to Arrowhead, or if they were to face Baltimore at some point in the postseason, what happened to them when they faced Baltimore last time?
35-10.
Yeah, Derrick Henry ran for almost 200 yards, 199 yards.
Yeah, and as of right now, Detroit will host the NFC title game, which is a part of that conversation too. Let's get to Mike and Troy. Mike, you're on 97.1.
Hey, gentlemen, how are we doing today? Happy holidays. I'm going to bring up a comment that nobody has made all day, including you two. 0-2 in the last two big games. That was NFC Championship game against San Francisco and Buffalo. All year, the schedule's been pretty easy. We can look at this schedule. I'm not going to go by the first two games of the regular season. They've got exposed on the defense and coaches. Dan Campbell's been out coached. Here in Detroit, Steve Yzerman has a pass and Dan Campbell has a pass. When do we start criticizing Dan Campbell, the mistakes he's made? He came out yesterday and said he was out coached. He didn't have his team prepared. What's up with that, fellas?
Well, if you think those are the only two big games that they've played, then yeah, they've lost their last two big games.
Mike, did you think Thursday night against Green Bay was a big game the week before?
No, I think Green Bay's not that good. Okay. No, I don't.
What about when they went to Minnesota, the first game post Aiden Hutchinson's injury? They got down 10-0 on the road in Minnesota, no Aiden Hutchinson. They won the game. Was that a big game?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And there's my other point. Right now, there's a three-way tie for the best record in the NFC. I don't see Philadelphia losing. I don't see Minnesota losing. It's going to come down to Detroit and Minnesota the last game. If that defense does not get better, Minnesota will win the conference. And Detroit will not host a playoff game. They will have to go 4-0 to win the Super Bowl. And I don't see that happening, fellas.
It's on the table after yesterday, right? I mean, that's part of the reality check of losing a game is now it opens up the possibility where you are one loss away from the 5 seed. Forget about the 1 seed, the 5 seed.
And of the schedule.
Guys, one more comment.
Yeah.
Barring a loss to the Bears by Minnesota, people are forgetting Minnesota's playing very, very good football. The coach, Kevin O'Connell, he's doing a great job. Nobody forgets about that. I believe he's the best coach in football. Look what he's done to Sam Donald. Look at the defense of Minnesota.
I think they're a well-coached team. No, there's no doubt, Mike. Yeah. They're a well-coached team.
I mean,
Lions won in Minnesota, though. I'm not panicking for Week 18 yet.
No, I mean, the Bears, at the Niners, all right, you could say, I mean, I don't know how concerning at the Niners is anymore. It's a road game, and maybe there's a mental block that they got to get over.
You just can't get tripped up. That's it.
You just can't get tripped up. And then the Vikings game, like I still think that the Lions in those three games are going to be favored in all three and should win all three.
And if they do, they control
the number one
home
seed.
Field for the entirety of the NFC
Everyone
playoffs.
Else is still chasing the Lions.
Yes. Let's get to Jay on a cell. Jay, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Jay Zilla in Miami. Hey, I just want to say I love MCDC's aggressiveness. But, you know, an onside kick, 12 minutes left, all our timeouts is recklessness. And there's a difference. But, and you're saying you're not going to fault them. I just think that was –
Well, Jay, it's a question. It's a question. I know onside kicks are harder and harder to get now, especially with the rule change. You have to declare it.
8%.
Yeah, I think I saw 10, but you might be right at 8%. I think he may have looked at it correctly and said, I don't think my defense has a 10% chance of getting a stop at the end of this football game. I mean, they had forced one punt the entire game. Would he really have been wrong to go, I'm running out of time. I know it's 12 minutes. It feels like an eternity to you. I'm down two scores, and I can't get a stop. I have to steal a possession, and maybe it is only an 8% chance. But I feel like I got lower chance than that to get a stop on Josh Allen. He's humming, and my defense is on fumes.
Yeah, I understand it, but we had all our timeouts. You know, I don't know.
And maybe you're right, Jay, because I know he said in hindsight he wouldn't, you know, he felt bad about it afterwards. He did not go with the onside kick 4 minutes later. So I don't know if he was in conflict as that game was going, but he did it one time and didn't the other.
I think he followed his emotions, meaning he knew he needed to steal a possession, but he didn't need to do it that early because, see, he comes from a coaching cloth where the onside kick used to be different. And so, but there's no element surprise anymore. To me, an onside kick at this point is an act of desperation.
But they should have been desperate, though.
I don't believe it was a desperate time yet.
What are you talking about?
I still think with the timeouts and the clock, you wait and you do the onside kick the next time around. It was because there's no element of surprise. I can go back to the 91 season.
Yeah.
Wayne Fonts went for an onside kick when they were trailing the Vikings 20-3 at home early in the season. And the Lions scored. And there was like 6.5 minutes to go. And because he had the element of surprise, they went for the onside kick down 10 at that point.
Tom.
When in the new NFL now, you just wait now. You wait until you are absolutely desperate because the team knows.
Right, there's no element of surprise.
They have their hands team out there.
Tom, they're down. They've given up 38 points in three quarters. I'm not really sure what the plan was other than kicking it off and letting him go on a 10-play drive and scoring a touchdown. At least with the onside kick, if you don't get it, it's a quick, you can hold a field goal and you're just trying to play. I want as many possessions as I can in this shootout. I got to hold him to a couple field goals on a short field. I need as many possessions I can steal as possible.
So when you're down 10 points in the fourth quarter, you should start kicking onside kick.
If your defense is as bad and dilapidated as this defense, I think you have no choice.
I just think you play the odds of the game over maybe that the situation in that game because it is so desperate now. The odds are so against you. There's been three recovered, I think, all year is what they said.
Yeah, sounds right, yeah.
So, look, you're nitpicking something. To me, the onside kick clouded way bigger problems.
It wasn't the reason they lost the game.
No, there's a lot of it contributed.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the reason.
Especially final score, you lose by one possession. You start looking back at all the one possessions, right? St. Brown with a fumble, St. Brown with a drop, an onside kick decision here, a blown, a fourth and two early in the game where you get a linebacker ISO'd on a running back. Like, there's so many things point to.
They were in striking distance still. But I'm going to tell you what, anything can happen in a game. You can always come back. I tapped out from a realistic standpoint when Cook busted the run.
Start the second half?
Yeah. You had a chance to make adjustments, and then the strength of your defense completely crapped the bed. You couldn't tackle. You could have stopped them at the 20, so you didn't score a touchdown. Maybe you hold them to 3. It just kind of smacked of, this just isn't happening today.
248-539-9797. Want to get your thoughts on how this game went and where you're at today. Level of concern. They were exposed. Is that a fair statement to say? And clearly want thoughts on that onside kick. It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you, ask you as many questions as you're willing to answer so that they can build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. It's what they did for me. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. There will be no Lions locker room victory speech today.
Nope.
Sorry, guys. Lions lose. It's second loss of the season. And trying to put this in its proper context. Okay, there are 12-2. They do control their own destiny for the one seed, which would mean home games throughout all the way to the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
Dan Campbell put this on him. He said the same thing after their Buccaneers loss. And we had a ticket texter who I thought made a really good point. They lost the Buccaneer game because of the offensive game plan, right? 55 pass attempts, not running the ball, especially when Vita Vea went out, no adjustments. This was the other side of the ball. I know Aaron Glenn wasn't working with a lot, so let's just skip the excuses routine. He started that game with Carlton Davis. He started that game with Aleem McNeil. They were healthy up front on the defensive line. They were healthy in the secondary, and the only starting linebacker they were missing when they kicked off was Alex Anzalone. Buffalo marched down the field on them, and they sat in man coverage. They never blitzed. Allen had all day. He could ad-lib. He could ID the mismatches. They used a little pre-snap motion. Oh, look, we have a linebacker on a running back. And they did it over and over and over and over again. They got exposed on defense. And it's only getting worse. Those guys who got hurt, Carlton Davis and Aleem McNeil, are not expected back this season. It's not official, but Dan Campbell made it seem like they could be done for the rest of the year. So, John, as we wake up today, the Lions aren't the Super Bowl favorite. That's quite the development. They're not out of it. I'm not going to write them off. I love how they rallied post Aiden Hutchinson, but they are running out of steam here on defense. Like, there's only so much they can do on that side of the ball. You can't ask them to win every game 50 points.
Right. And it's not like you can go to free agency. It's not like you can go to the trade market. Yeah. There's nobody that's going to come help other than those guys that are already there. And I know, yes. Okay. The one common factor to me, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, is not the defense. I think we know what we're going to get from the defense, and it's not going to be a top five defense. It's probably not going to be a top 10 defense, but what it needs to be is a top five offense. And yeah, I know that the numbers that Jared Goff put up yesterday were staggering. And I got a funny stat that will just,
you got it?
It just, well, I'll get there in a minute, because it's just going to be one of those things where when I talk about during the course of a season, everything evens itself out, whether you're talking about a bad call here in the first quarter, you get one in the second quarter, ball bounces your way one week, doesn't bounce your way the next week. But you cannot win games. This offense can't win games if you can't run the ball. To me, that was the biggest thing yesterday, was they didn't possess the ball enough. They had empty possessions to start the first half. They had empty possessions to start the second half. When that happens against a team like Buffalo, that even against the best defenses are going to score some points, you've got to be able to match them score for score. Now, the statistical oddity is Jared Goff threw for nearly 500 yards and 5 touchdowns in a loss.
Yeah.
He's also thrown 5 interceptions in a win. Like, yes. Just think of, let that set in for a second. Okay. He threw 5 interceptions, and they still beat the Texans.
So I saw, this was from CBS, after the game. Jared Goff is the first player in NFL history to throw for more than 400 yards, 5 or more touchdowns, 0 picks, and lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's so...
But that's not the game plan for them to win.
No, I know, but John, I noted, the offensive line got off to a slow start.
A slow game.
They scored 42 points. The slow start. I think I can say that. They got off to a slow start. Specifically, the offensive line was losing the battle up front. They were then not able to stay balanced and run the ball. That's a noted point. The biggest issue is defense, though. I mean, how can you say on a day where you give those stats and they move the ball and they score all these points, the answer wasn't, damn, they should have scored 50. The answer was, force a second punt in the football game. Not asking that much.
If you score or at least get some yards on the opening drive, how does that change what Buffalo does? They may go down and score right away like they did on their second possession. But then what if you are able to generate a couple of first downs on your second possession instead of 5 plays, 3 yards, and you go nowhere?
Oh, you could have helped your defense. There's no doubt about that.
That's what I'm talking about. Is this is a team that is going, they're going to win because of their offense.
Well, especially now. I mean,
they're going to have to.
Because you agree, like, there's really only so much they can do defensively. Alex Anzalone will come back and it'll help. But I think on the scales, getting him back but losing Davis and McNeil, it's going the wrong way.
I agree. But this is a team built on offense. We knew that starting 2 years ago when they built up this offensive line with Penei Sewell, they already had Ragnow, they re-signed Decker, they go out and get Graham back, and then they signed Zeitler. Like, this is clearly a team that is built on being able to run the ball. It's Sonic and Knuckles. It's Laporta. It's all the different ways that they can move the ball and pick up first downs, yet they had multiple possessions where there was no first downs. There was lost yardage possessions.
John, I see it. I see it. The formula of Montgomery carrying it 4 or 5 times is not a winning formula. The formula does exist for this team to win big games in the playoffs. You get to a Super Bowl, you find out, you see what happens. But I guess the difference with you and me today is I believed this team was winning the Super Bowl with like every fiber in my being 24 hours ago.
I still believe they're winning the Super Bowl.
But how can you be unchanged in that when you know that their path just got so much more difficult?
It certainly got difficult.
Because like, when we know now if they face an elite quarterback...
Doesn't mean they still can't... That well, I still can. Shouldn't expect them to win the Super
but
Bowl.
But you have no shake in confidence at all after watching that?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I said I still believe that they'll win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Is it going to be as easy as I thought? No.
Okay.
Yeah, I have confidence that it's shaken.
I just want to make sure that there's like some level of
No, it's not going to. They're not just going to walk their way to the Super Bowl and just never have any tough moments. There's going to be tough moments. There's going to be tough decisions that Dan Campbell has to make. And the team is going to have to come through, whether it's fourth downs. I don't. The whole onside kick thing.
Whatever.
I think it's easy to say, you know, did you have, if it's a 10% chance that they get it, okay, what was it worse odds that the defense was going to stop Josh Allen? Probably.
Because, again, you don't think, again, we gave the this is backed by the books, the fact that Detroit's not the Super Bowl favorite today.
I don't think anybody thought that they would be after that game yesterday.
Right. We had talked about it going in. What was at stake? The winner of that game was going to be in the driver's seat, the favorite. It was theirs to lose. It's the Bills' Super Bowl to lose, which is quite the development given the way we've talked about the Lions.
And part of it is the Lions still control their destiny in the NFC. Is the NFC as strong as the AFC?
No.
I don't think so. So to say that the Bills are going to, you know, cake the bowl, like they have all the odds in their favor, but they're going to have to be on the road at some point. They're not going to get the number one seat. So they're going to have to go and try and overcome the Kansas City magic, the voodoo, whatever it is.
Yeah, can we also acknowledge another part of this, though? The Eagles coming into Ford Field, if the season ended today, that's what would happen in the NFC title game. Detroit's D-line against that Eagles O-line is not a matchup I would look forward to seeing. Eagles' offensive line against the D-line for Detroit that doesn't have Aleem McNeil, that doesn't have Aiden Hutchinson. John, they couldn't get any pressure on Josh Allen. That game even has a little more doubt for me now, too.
There's no question because your defense is not as good today as it started out yesterday. We were all excited because Reader was going to be back, because Aleem McNeil was back, Pascal Onwuzurike.
And when healthy, those guys weren't able to stop Josh Allen. And without him, they definitely couldn't stop Josh Allen.
Jalen Hurts is not Josh Allen.
He is
not. And I wouldn't even put Saquon Barkley in that category.
248-539-9797. We'll get some phone calls in the mix next. Obviously, there's a lot going on here. There is no disco party. There's mild panic at the disco. It's 97.1.
Hey, are you searching for the perfect holiday gift for friends and family? Well, give the gift of unforgettable experiences with the YMCA. Y gift certificates are available at all 7 Metro Detroit locations and can be used for individual and family membership, personal training sessions, swim lessons, access to wellness center, youth sports, and even overnight and day summer camps. This holiday season, choose the timeless gift of fun, fitness, and Y. Visit YMCADetroit.org or stop by any Metro Detroit YMCA locations to share the joy of health and connection.
Let's get the phone calls in. You guys have a lot to say. Lions lose for just the second time this season, but it didn't feel like just a regular loss. Although, what did losing feel like? We kind of forgot. Down 14-0 right away. Down 3 scores in the fourth quarter. Lions made it look closer than the game was. And if you wanted to say, well, the defense didn't look good because they're injured, bad news, they're more injured. Aleem McNeil, not good. Carlton Davis, not good. And it really casts doubt. Like, this idea that the Lions are this team that's just going to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, they're not the favorites anymore. And they're going to have to win shootouts, which is possible. But what I loved about this team so much a couple weeks ago is we're talking about they can win any way, right? The defense, offense, pick each other up. Now it's a narrow path. I'm not going to count them out. I think they responded after losing Aiden Hutchinson. I think the offense is the best in football. They clearly can win the Super Bowl. But do you expect it? I think things change. I think that was the sobering reality check that, sure, they're going to have to face a Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
And how do they adjust?
And those teams, we got to force them to punt more than one time.
Mm-hmm.
Can it happen? Sure.
What type of changes can you make? Because it doesn't sound like Lee McNeil's coming back. Doesn't sound like Carlton Davis is coming back. And so you're going to have to find a way to at least slow an opponent's offense that's going to have a quarterback like that down, because you're going to face one even before you get to the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts, and the way that they played yesterday, you got to look at it and say, did they put some of the, you know, A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts drama behind them?
Maybe.
I mean, who knows? There's still three games left to be played.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Chris in West Bloomfield. Chris, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I've only been listening for about 45 minutes or so, so I don't know if anyone has brought this up, but I know that like there's like the difference between like panicking or like just like being okay. All right, it is what it is, but I think it may have been a good thing, and like just from a mentality, like a humbling perspective, like maybe it was a good thing, like for everyone to just like cool down a little bit, you know, like someone said earlier, like walking into the Super Bowl, it ain't going to be that easy, and maybe losing might be like, okay, all right, we need to like readdress, reassess, and like go into something, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
I'm never going to say there's a good loss or that they needed to lose. What did they learn from this game? How are they going to adjust? How are they going to address the issues of not stopping the run and not finding a way to slow down Josh Allen?
Sure, and like maybe one of the things that they take away from it is that they're not infallible. Like,
yeah,
maybe it's just like, hey, okay, you know, we sort of like with the defensive line, like we're using Band-Aids. Maybe we need a bigger like readjustment or something. Like we come away from it thinking, okay, all right, well, there's some stuff that we got to do. So I don't know. Like I hear your point, John, about it, you know, not rooting for a loss, but like sometimes I think that you can glean some good things from something that is overall like a negative thing. You don't want to lose, right?
Right.
You can learn.
Chris,
you know,
I think something Campbell said after the game may tie into this, because he talked about they didn't have enough urgency for this matchup. And you think, how can that be? What do you mean? You're playing a big game against Buffalo. And I don't know, maybe it was a realization after the game that he didn't push the right buttons or his team needed a kick in the ass. I don't know. You'd hate to say that you needed to lose to get up for a big game like that. But he said like he doesn't want to make excuses for the injuries, and he blamed himself and the preparation, and he didn't think his team had enough urgency. So I don't know. Does this create urgency now? Because there will be this idea of you can't lose another game or you lose the one seed. And if you get into a big game, it takes more. You need to be sharper.
They're always being pressed by the Eagles. They're always being pressed by Minnesota, and they can handle Minnesota. They get a chance to address that. There's no way for them to address anything with the Eagles until they possibly eventually meet in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. 248-539-9797. Let's get to AC in Detroit. AC, what's up? You're on 97.1.
Good morning, fellas. I'm going to actually have to agree with John on this one. My confidence has not been shaken at all. Like, when you look at that game yesterday, Buffalo played a near perfect game. It wasn't flawless, but they came in, did what they had to do, hats off to Buffalo. They're not going to do that for 6 weeks in a row. I don't see Buffalo being able to go for the next 6 weeks with that much pressure and make it all the way to the Super Bowl. I just don't see it. So I'm not worried about Buffalo being this big, scary monster waiting for us in the Super Bowl that we have to kind of defeat. don't think they're going to be there at all.
Who will be?
Again, that's just
Wouldn't you be afraid of a team that does beat Buffalo en route to a Super Bowl?
No, it's the NFL any given Sunday. Like I think there's probably four or five teams, AFC, NFC, that can make it to the Super Bowl. And it's just a matter of like when whoever gets there, whoever shows up on that day, whoever does what they have to do, they're the winner.
I think the Lions are the favorite. AC,
I do think
they ran into a buzzsaw, and I think Josh Allen played a great game. And I compared it to, you know, a Pop Warner game where you're just looking at somebody that's just bigger, better than everybody else, and you cannot stop him. That was yesterday.
He's playing down a couple grades.
From this point of view, though. If they didn't have those two empty possessions early, that changes the whole trajectory of the game.
Yep.
You're not down 23 scores. You need to try to go for an onside. The game is closer. And even if you're not scoring that way, you lost by 6 points.
But AC, that six points is misleading. I think that 6 points is misleading. But I do agree with you, AC.
Just because they lost and in the matter that they lost with yesterday doesn't mean if the Bills make it to the Super Bowl that you have to sit there and say, oh, this is the big bad Buffalo Bills. There's no chance we can win this game.
Absolutely. And like that first possession, if they had an actual drive, that would have taken away a possession from Buffalo.
But you realize the second half wouldn't have had. Yeah, well, you're right. I'm not going to diminish the start of that football game and getting the right footing. It's the start of the second half as well.
Where they give up the touchdown. That's on the defense. But then it's 3 plays minus 5 yards wasted and nothing out of that possession. And then it's a fumble. Which you just never think you're going to see from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Heads up, he is human. It is going to happen. You just don't want to happen at that moment.
But I think the 6 points is clouding some people's phone calls today. They were down 17 points in the fourth quarter at home. Did they put up some empty stats at the end of that game? Yes. They were getting beat down from the jump in the game. I don't know why. I get why. We don't want to believe that it was as bad as it was. It was bad. It was really bad, guys. It only counts for one. You might not face the Bills in the Super Bowl, but I would make the case to you, Josh Allen's having one of those years. He may finally defeat the Chiefs in the AFC playoffs.
And I'd expect him to.
And if he doesn't, I know you're going, we can handle Kansas City. We can handle Kansas City. Their offense isn't high-powered, but Detroit's defense may make them high-powered. They may awaken that in a Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes on the other side, keeping plays alive because you can't get any pressure. These are things that you should be concerned about, that I feel like people are like, nah, 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 la, 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 one pride. That was bad, and it does open up those doubts.
Sure, there's doubts. But do you not have any confidence in the breadth of work that you've seen the Lions put to this point? Where is that who the Lions are yesterday?
It may be who they are on defense moving forward. Because they're not getting healthier.
Well, no, they're not. But I think Aaron Glenn is going to be able to make some adjustments. Is he going to be able to make enough adjustments to eventually beat Buffalo? I don't know. I still think they can. That's why I still think they can win the Super Bowl.
Can and will are two very different statements today.
I think they will win the Super Bowl.
Will versus can. 248-539-9797.
So this is back to, 14-3 and you're measly 12-5.
Well, I told you, I did feel like I got reverted back to a little bit of preseason because I think they lost some of their invincibility.
You can't just crash the bus whenever you think it's convenient.
By the way, 15-2 is very much still on the tracks right now.
Yeah, so are you crashing the bus? Are you okay with it?
They could go 15-2 and not win the Super Bowl, John.
This is correct.
Mike in Detroit. Mike, you're on 97.1. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, fellas. To me, it came down to the duel of the quarterbacks. And I was so impressed with Allen, but he can get out of situations instead of just standing there like a log. He knew, well, I got to keep this play alive. So instead of him going backwards like Goff was going backwards, when he dropped back and only throw just a few yards, just to gain 3 yards, Allen moved forward. That was just my only point.
He's a different.
Yeah. He's a different animal. He's a problem. There's no question about it.
I loved your comparison. It was like an eighth grader against sixth graders. Like it just, he's bigger. He's faster. I mean, you're watching as Za'Darius Smith sprinting, he's just kind of jogging and floating and keeping the play alive.
Okay. So they run the quarterback run to the right and you're like, they can't stop him. And then he runs the same thing and then pulls up and pass. Like, and now you're having other guys making great plays too, like the one-handed catch by the tight end. That was unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
And so they are playing a near perfect game, and the Lions just didn't.
And there's no perfect defense for Allen. Like, I would have liked to see them mix it up more, a little more blitz, a little more zone. There's no answers that are perfect against Allen. I just think you have to try to keep him on his toes a little more. It was clear the Lions were sitting in man.
Well, even on that fourth down, like you knew what was going to happen on that one. Yeah. And you were hoping for a heroic play. It's just that player wasn't there.
We'll get TJ Lang at 9:02. More of your phone calls. Heather's news before the hour is done. It's 97.1.
Hey, it's the wintry driving season yet again, where reckless drivers seem to be everywhere, and you know that they're not going to be able to keep their own cars under control. If you get injured in an auto accident during this or any time of the year, you need an injury attorney who's going to be responsive to your needs and aggressive against the insurance company. That injury attorney that you need to hire is David Femeninio. You can pick up the phone right now and speak with David personally by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
I really wish they won, because that would have been a much bigger deal today.
Oh, yeah. It would have been awesome.
Big man touchdown. We have a big man join the studio, TJ Lang, 9:02.
He was as confident as we were, it sounds like.
Yeah, he was dancing at the double-digit disco. And, our takeaway is there's a reason disco died. There's a reason you don't have disco clubs anymore. And, the Lions lost. And we want to take your phone calls on what happened and where you're at with the team. And I think maybe the easiest question to ask is that can versus will. Will they win the Super Bowl? Can they win the Super Bowl? Which camp are you in?
I still expect them to win the Super Bowl.
So you are in camp, will win the Super Bowl, even with that loss. And a lot of people have called in and said they're not shaken. Their confidence remains strong. They will win the Super Bowl. I am in the can win the Super Bowl camp. Of course they can. But will? That defense has major concerns.
Yeah, it's got concerns. And I'd rather find out now than in the Super Bowl. I'd rather find out now, and obviously we didn't know before the game that McNeil might be done for the season or Carlton Davis might be done for the season. We'll find out today or tomorrow when they get the results of any tests that they got to do and Dan speaks. But I still think that this is a well-coached team. It's a disciplined team. Are they going to have to be tighter in every other facet to make that a possibility? Absolutely. Special teams are going to have to be a big component. You can't have Jake Bates missing a 52-yard field goal. And it doesn't matter if he misses it by a foot or it's way wide. A miss is a miss. Can't have those. You also can't have empty possessions in a game where you know Buffalo or Kansas City or Baltimore is going to capitalize on every opportunity given them.
Alan Pontiac, you're on 97.1.
All right. They're not going to the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. They got too raggedy of a defense. You're keeping to man-to-man defense all the time on a running quarterback. If the Lions played Philadelphia right now, you think they would win?
Yes.
In a healthy Philadelphia team?
Well, they're not getting back some players as well.
The Super Bowl goes through the North. We all know that.
Yeah.
The NFC?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not over with yet. Minnesota and Green Bay still are not no joke, but the Lions' defense is terrible. I mean, Allen, and that whole game, really, honestly, the Bills had control of that whole game.
I'm with you on that.
Go down and score, because we're going to come right back and score right back on.
Al, I'm with you on that. I don't think it's
gambling, Dan.
Well, okay, but I'll defend the gamble in the sense that you need to get a stop. To your point, if the defense is as bad as you and I think the defense was, if they're as out of that game as you and I think they were, you have to steal a possession. I don't know that you can kill the guy. If you feel like the defense is bad and they're down 2 to 3 scores, you're going to need to steal a possession. The onside kick, while it's low percentage, it might be one of the few ways to still win that football game at that point.
Defense was bad yesterday. Offensive line was bad yesterday. Do I think that that's going to be the defense moving forward or the offense moving forward? No, I think they'll play better.
Tom brought in this, and we'll get to Heather's news here in a second. This is the current playoff matchups if the seeds hold. The Lions would have the bye. They'd have the one seed. If the seeds hold, the second round would see the Lions hosting the Rams.
Okay.
If the seeds hold, the Lions would host the Eagles. There is a possibility if the Lions lose the final week of the regular season, they're the 5 seed, and they don't get a single home game the rest of the way. So there is a lot more at stake now. Mm-hmm. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, guys, some top political leaders are urging the federal government to deploy high-tech drone hunters to crack the mystery of who's behind those numerous drone sightings that have been flying over communities in New York and New Jersey. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Sunday that he asked the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to immediately deploy special, devices, these drone detecting technology, to get to the bottom of what's been alarming residents in that area, right? Earlier that same day on Sunday, Homeland Security did say the federal government is deploying additional resources to address the drones. Homeland Security also says that it is their job to be vigilant, and if there is any reason for concern, they will keep the American public
notified
in the know.
So do we have any idea what this is? Where they're coming from?
Theories.
Okay. Well, I know, but it baffles me that. One, that this is even possible over our airspace if it's not something that the government isn't testing themselves.
I don't know.
No.
We don't know. Well, I do know this. This is pretty fun. The winner of the Pop-Tarts Bowl will be taking home a cool new trophy. So the trophy itself kind of looks exactly like it did before, but there's a new feature of this trophy. So it's been revamped, and now it features a built-in working toaster.
Oh.
So the winners can toast their Pop-Tarts right there from the trophy. So last year, the trophy featured, that big silver football, and it had two metallic slots like a toaster would have.
Yeah.
But it was just for looks. Well, now the toaster will actually work because they partnered with GE. So,
battery operated, or are they still going to have to plug that sucker in? Oh.
Well, like a toaster,
Better have an extension cord.
Yeah.
Can I make a statement? I don't know if this is unpopular. Maybe it's popular. 99% of the Pop-Tarts I've ever eaten, not toasted. Are people regularly toasting the Pop-Tarts?
Oh, yeah.
I know you can.
Toast them or microwave them. Warm them up.
I'll just eat.
Oh, I like them cold, too, raw. Right from the package. But I think they're better when they're
like
heated.
I said I eat the Pop-Tart raw, John.
Oh, okay. Oh my goodness gracious.
So, I'm just asking the question. That's what I thought I heard. You prefer your Pop-Tarts that way.
I'm also a cold Pop-Tart eater.
Are you?
Yes.
I don't know that I've ever had one cold. I always warm them up. I mean, sure, maybe back in my college days.
But maybe not when you're here, at work. If you were to go buy some at work, you would just eat them out of the package because we don't have toasters, right?
Well, we have a microwave.
You'd microwave the Pop-Tart?
I just said that.
I know, but
I know you did, but I just kind of was like,
you just
want to
pretend
you
didn't say that. I know.
You shouldn't microwave them.
Why?
I don't know. It just seems wrong. It doesn't seem right. Either toast it in a toaster or eat it cold.
Warm them up and put a little butter on top, and there you go.
Oh, no.
I think TJ, you wouldn't put butter on it either?
Butter?
Oh,
no,
cinnamon,
it's got frosting.
Right. Everything's better with butter. You need to get on this concept. If anything is good, butter makes it better.
Thank you. Nope. On Saturday night, Travis Hunter was announced as the 2024 Heisman Trophy winner. But it was his fiance that was really setting the internet ablaze. I don't know if you watched any of this or have been following it. There's a lot going on with this relationship. It didn't just start at this, ceremony. But the biggest thing people were calling out is that she didn't stand when he won.
Oh,
and Deion Sanders was there and gestured for her, was like, come on, stand up. And people are... This is just one of the things in a long line of things they've been noticing about her behavior. They're saying that she's disinterested, calling her, behavior showing lack of support. Some are even saying, hey, maybe you should reconsider the engagement, call the whole thing
really?
Off.
Really? So
yeah, and
I
other
didn't
people
know
are
who
praising
she
her poise.
Was until this.
I didn't either, but I've been reading a little bit about it. She's done other things that have people maybe you should,
Look, she should be standing, but I wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt. She's in the front row. Maybe everybody else behind her is standing, and she just didn't get the social cue. I don't want to read into it
also,
and say she's not supportive.
Didn't want the attention to be on. I don't know. It isn't if you're not used to this limelight per se. I don't know. I mean, I think I would stand because I think that's just what you do. But I can see her maybe being you know what? I don't know. This is his moment. I don't want attention on me. What do I do? Who knows? Anyway. She was there. She looked great. They're still engaged. Yeah, nothing's happened there. Finally, Macaulay Culkin almost made a really epic move by buying the Home Alone house when it hit the market back in May, but he didn't do it. During this recent screening of the movie in Illinois, he told the crowd that he thought it would be fun to buy the house and then turn it into like a movie fun house, was his quote, where people could actually go and like sled down the stairs like Kevin does in the movie. But ultimately, he said, you know what? I'm a dad now. I got kids at home. Like, I don't have time for this stuff. But it did cross his mind. He thought about it for a minute. And then unfortunately,
turn it into a fun house for his own kids. There you go.
Yeah. Well, and he's kind of saying that his kids love the movies now, love Home Alone. And one of his sons actually thinks that he's Kevin. Like, no, that was me. Like, that is
TJ's kids love Pitch Perfect because dad's in it.
I mean, I love Pitch Perfect. Who doesn't?
Yep, two. Sorry.
Pitch Perfect 2.
Yes. I'm,
Pitch Perfect 2. I love them all.
The series.
TJ Lang's coming up next. That's Heather with the news. First, Filar with the update. It's 97.1.